Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. This is our final show of 2016, so I'm a little pumped up because we are here today with an amazing woman and a cool topic since tomorrow night is New Year's Eve. But our topic today is surprise and delight, create a memorable event. And I am delighted to say that our leading lady today is Nicole Oshibudu, and she is the founder and CEO of Pink Pineapple Events, which is just a tongue twister alone. But she is the founder and CEO, and I know this woman very well. And Nicole, I want you to say hello to all of our listeners as our leading lady today.
Hello, listeners. This is so exciting. I love what you're doing with the show, Michelle, and for everybody. So I'm excited to be here.
What? You're good. And for our listeners, you need to know, Nicole is probably one of the most positive, most calm, yet enthusiastic people I've ever seen when I've seen her involved in events. And I have not seen you in charge. I have seen you be supportive and calm when there's all kinds of crazy going on at an event. And I find that fabulous because I don't have that kind of patience.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. You learn when to react and when to just breathe.
See, that's where I wanted. I can't wait to talk to you. So I want to talk a little bit about, you know, creating a memorable event because you are in the event business. This is what you do, and you know we're hitting New Year's Eve, so everybody's kind of thinking parties and events. But I do know a lot of our listeners either work for companies that do events, or I know there's quite a few business owners out there that listen to us regularly. And, you know, we want to have you kind of share some of those things that could create a memorable event. So can you, hit it right off. What are some things from your perspective that you think people should really kind of focus in on to create that memorable event or to surprise and delight their attendees?
Sure. That's definitely a great question. And kind of the bonus question for everybody, if you can find the answer. So I think for any business, whether it's for, you know, an event, when I design an event for a client, or, you know, if you have a business and you just want to connect with your clients better, increase sales, anything like that, it's all about creating the emotional connection. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to know your client. It's one thing to understand their goals and, you know, what they want to, you know, happen from the event that you're creating for them. But if you don't know, you know, kind of what drives your client and what makes them feel good, you know, in relation to, you know, what they have to do with their goals, then you're really dead in the water. So, you know, knowing your client is definitely the first important thing. And I would say, to start with would be when you do any event would be like when you walk in, you would want some kind of a wow factor. So the surprise and delight goes beyond what they would expect. So when they walk into an event, they're going to expect, you know, okay, there's something in the beginning and there's some entertainment going on and there's decor, but you'd really want to create an environment that has some icebreakers in it to get people relaxed or to get them amped up in whatever mood that you want them to be in. And logistics are important on the big event scale, but as far as bringing it home to like an in-home party or an office to really surprise and delight them, you want to do something that makes sense to them or connects with them in an emotional way, that having the lighting correct. That's very important in any kind of a big event or even just in your office when you have a client, you know, coming in to meeting you, making sure it smells good, it's tidy. That would be an office thing. As far as a big event, you would want to make sure that, you know, your fluid concept is throughout. You don't walk them into a jungle scene and then all of a sudden you're in more of a corporate scene that wouldn't make sense. They wouldn't get what was going on. So kind of things that, you know, you want to flow your concept throughout the event, be it in decor, the signage, directional things, where do they go from the invites and all of that. And knowing your client then too, besides their goals, would help you with things like, you know, remembering their birthday, for example, sending them a handwritten note, having things like, hey, you know what, sending them an article. Like, that's a surprise and delight thing because that's very personal. And that goes beyond, like, did you have to send them that article? No, but does it help your relationship with them and help them know that, wow, they really understand me. They know what, you know, is important to me. And an article is a very personal way to say, I understand what you're into, your interest, and I thought of you. And that develops a trust because without trust and confidence, you really have nothing, no matter if it's with a client for a big event or just a client relationship within, you know, within your business. So I'd say, you know, after you know your client, then it's in the little details. And that could be huge or it could be very small, like a handwritten note. So you just definitely.
And I love all that. I think, you know, the interesting part, Nicole, is that, you know, when people start talking about, you know, kind of client, I mean, let's segment the two, because I think we've got two things going on, and I love it because I didn't realize what a big question was that I asked. But on the event side, you know, what do you see for businesses that are some client events, of course, but could we maybe delve a little deeper? It's like when people are thinking of hosting an event, I mean, many times it's to bring, you know, clients together, show your clients you care, that kind of thing. But, you know, if it's a small business or even if it's a big corporation, let's focus on the small businesses. What are some of the things that you see they do right when they host a client event, if I can ask, you know? Or, and then on the other side, what do they do wrong, you know, because there's so many things that can go wrong when you host an event.
Sure, sure. I would say when you're hosting, if you're a smaller business, we'll take like a booth, for example. So that could be at a trade show or maybe you're just, you know, have a booth somewhere that's kind of passing out information. Even just the way you stand and where, like if you're just standing behind the table and you have your hands behind your back, well, that's not very engaging. And to me, as an attendee or as a possible client of this business, I'm going to just their body language alone just turns me off. Like, wow, this person is just kind of standing there. And what do they want me to take a pamphlet? Well, I don't even want to do that. That's not exciting at all. So if even just when you're presenting your business, you know, at a booth to stand either on the side or in the front and say, oh, hello, how are you? Like, oh, give a compliment. That's genuine. Don't be telling every woman that walks by that you like her shoes if you don't. So, you know, you'd want to be definitely genuine and inviting and likable right away because if they can see like, okay, like this girl's not so scary, like I'll talk to her. And then, you know, you weave in what your business is from there. And that would be like a booth setting, but even, I mean, I find as a business owner, I'm always on. So if I'm at the grocery store, if I'm at the library, wherever I am, if I'm trying to, you know, promote my business or if I'm just standing in line at the post office, I need to be presentable. I need to be ready. I need to just kind of have your little elevator pitch in there and always be positive because if somebody doesn't need your business at that moment, like say, well, I don't ever need to do events or I don't ever need your consulting business, I don't think. One day they're going to run across something and say, oh, my gosh, you know, that woman I met at the post office, I think I have her card somewhere. She was so positive and she just really sounded like she knew what she was talking about. I'm going to give her a call because now I do need her services. So I think just always remember that you don't have to be, you know, actually, you know, saying I'm promoting my business right now. I'm going to go and make calls or go and meet people or go to this networking event or have an event or throw an event to kind of be, you know, always on and presenting what your business would be.
And I get those things. I think go back to the part where we were talking about the client events. I mean, I think so many people, you know, I know business owners and colleagues of mine that say, oh, I want to, you know, and I think the economy also drives, you know, when businesses do events. But, you know, if the economy gets better, if it is better, some people have a real opinion on that. But my question to you is what are some of the different types of client events people do? I mean, can you give some tips or slices of advice to our listeners about what are the different types of client events that people could be doing? And then, you know, what, I guess I'm just going to go with that. I asked 20 questions at once. You'll have to forgive me. But
no.
What are some of the different client events people do in business?
Sure. So I would say networking events for sure. So if you think of whatever your industry is, there's got to be an association connected. Like, you know, there's a lot of women's networking events and that kind of thing. But if you're a lawyer, you're going to belong to a lawyers association group, and chances are they have monthly, even just meetups that you definitely
yeah,
would
but
want
what
to
I'm talking about,
attend.
No, what I'm talking about, Nicole, is I'm talking about something different. I'm saying you're a business owner and you want to host an event for your clients. Right? So it's not to go to events, it's you host an event. This is where you come in as your services. So for you as an event person, it's like if a business wants to host a client event, what are some of the different types of client events that you've seen some people do if they're businesses that they host themselves to kind of like show client appreciation?
I definitely think an open house is a big one, especially if you have offices that people can go to. So an open house would be almost, you know, you just open everything up, almost like when you have an open house at school, that's what you're kind of doing with your business. Everybody's there. It's really showcasing what you have going on. You have some great music. Again, the lighting's nice, a little bit of light appetizer. So an open house is definitely a great way to show your space and have people come in and meet you. You can go to, as far as putting on another event, would be throwing a social party, like whether it's at a venue, maybe it's a cocktail hour, you know, something like that. You could do something completely fun and do, like, you could do something where people go bowling and bring their families in. And then, by the way, you talk about your business for about 10 minutes and you somehow link, you know, what am I trying to do here to get new customers or just get people to meet me in a fun setting? It just depends what your, you know, what your possible clientele would be, but just to gain, you know, gain awareness. Or maybe you're just ground pounding the streets. That's an event in itself where you'd get your team together and say, okay, we're going to go out. We're wearing these cool T-shirts. We're going to go and just, you know, kind of do guerrilla marketing on the street. And then, by the way, you want to pull them back to, yeah, just we did an event one time. It was called the Complimob. And we wore shirts that said, you know, Complimob. And we made up a definition that we put on the back. But everybody's wearing the same T-shirt. And we walked around a park and we just gave people genuine compliments. And you would not believe the conversations that started because of that, because people love to feel special. And when you say, well, like, I love the way you're playing with your family, like, they're going to stop and be like, wow, that made me feel really great. What's going on? You know, what do you want? Maybe some people think, what do you want? But, you know, maybe you want to get something from people. Maybe you just want to do something as a team, but that's kind of more of an unconventional out of the box way.
Yeah,
of,
those are pretty good. You know, I'm really curious with you. It's like when you start working with a client and they come to you and they say, okay, and for our listeners, you need to know, I mean, you're a little more humble about this, but you've done events at the White House. I mean, that's how crazy, you know, your expertise is. And I want all of our listeners to know that you're like the master, Zen master of events. And I think you're fabulous. I mean, you've shown me through deed how great you are. And the fact that you've worked at the White House is crazy. But when you have clients come to you and they say, okay, we want your services, we want you to help us with an event, I mean, what process do you go through to make sure that you, one, of course, stick on budget, but two, make sure a client's getting the right event? You know, what are some suggestions or things you can make with that? And kind of share, what do you go through when you're with a client to kind of make sure they get what they're looking for? Is it a questionnaire or what do you do with them?
Sure. So I think when a client first sits down, and the first couple of meetings, I would say, are definitely important. And it's more me listening and asking a lot of questions, because sometimes people don't even, they might think, okay, my goal is that I want to have this, our first conference, for example, or my first event, be it really small. And maybe my company's, you know, only 10 people, I have 10 employees, and I just want to have, you know, just a mixer at our office, or, you know, our first event outside at a venue. And but they're not thinking through, like, okay, what is the underlying reason that maybe you want this red and white event, for example? Well, I think red and white, it's our company colors. Like, that's great. And those are normal branding questions. But I want to find, you know, like, what are the rooted reasons that you want to, like, grow your business? What's, or get whatever your goals are. So definitely being clear, you know, what are the goals? Why do you think you want to be doing this? And what are your ideas so far? Some people come to me with Pinterest boards that are 1,500 pins long, you know, and okay, I can look through those really quickly and pull out, okay, so it looks like I'm feeling like you're really liking this kind of, like, you know, decor, or it sounds like your messaging is really on point with this, you know, and then maybe it's not. Maybe they're like, yeah, but I don't know. That's not really what I want. So you just have to keep asking questions until finally they say, oh my gosh, that's it. That's exactly what I want to do. This is exactly what I want it to look like. You're so right. This is an amazing idea. And then bringing ideas to them, saying, okay, what if, you know, it sounds to me like this is what you're trying to do. I have some ideas on how we can do that. Are you willing to go here or there? Or are you willing to maybe not have your conference in a hotel ballroom? Are you willing to go outside to a park? Because based on all of your answers that I have here, it really looks like you're looking for something more active for your attendees or for your clients and that kind of thing. And seeing where, okay, this is way too left and this is way too much to the right. So let's try and find something that meets in the middle, bringing them new ideas, but still accomplishing whatever that they need, you know, to accomplish and staying in that budget and still making it a great experience. Because that's what any event or any client relationship that I have is it's an experience from the first phone call with me all the way to the follow-up after the event. And all of those details in between matter. How you handle crisis matters. How you handle
stress
matters.
And, I mean, do you find most people come to you and they have an idea of what they want to do, or is it just the same people? There's a lot of people that go like, I have no idea. I mean, what do you find kind of across the board that, you know, people have an idea and they're outrageous, or people just go, I don't know, and make it, you know, help me, Nicole. What do you find most people do?
I think everybody has an idea of what they think they want to do. And generally there's a big gap in the middle with, you know, maybe even just when it comes down to the budget, like, okay, I want to have this giant party and I want these stilt walkers and I want to rent it and they want the big circus theme and everything. And I'm like thinking, okay, great. And then, you know, one of the first questions I ask is, you know, what's your budget? And if they say, oh, well, I don't have one. Well, there's always something that they're thinking. They definitely have an idea of what they're thinking, because if I come back to them with a $300,000 price tag and they say, oh my gosh, actually I was thinking more like $10,000. Well, that's a big difference. So, you know, helping them
right.
do that. But I think the majority of people have some kind of at least one or two pegs to stick in the wall, whether it's, I know I want to have an event that feels like this, or I know I have $15,000. I have no idea what to do, but at least they know one of the elements, because coming to me and saying, I don't know if I'm having a birthday party or a 400, you know, person gala. Well, that's a little different. So they have to have some kind of information when they start. And generally they do, but generally the ideas they come to me at the beginning and the budget that they have with it sometimes doesn't really match. So we just try and find, you know, a happy medium in between. But having ideas is definitely sets me on the right course. And then I can present ideas as we go along together.
Well, I got to say, it's like you've been extremely creative every conversation I've had with you about events and things like that. And, you know, I mean, that leads me to another question. It's like, what the heck prompted you to get into the event industry? You know, I mean, so many people will say that, oh, it's, you know, it's so predicated on the economy. It's like it's up, it's down. It's like, what led you into the event industry from your background, or what was it that was the shiny light that attracted you to it?
Sure. It was actually a pretty specific event. I volunteered to be the chairperson of aircraft carrier homecoming back in 2004 or 2005. And I had no clue what I was doing or what I was getting into. Well, there's 5,000 people on the aircraft carrier, and then we have, we'll just call it 10,000 people on the pier, you know, that for the homecoming. And then, of course, it's with the military, so everything's very timed, very exact, and a very you have to follow their process and their protocol. And so I took 6 months and helped kind of put that event together with Post-it notes all over my ceiling. I was up for 14 hours a day. I was like thinking, what did I volunteer for? This is
Post-it
insane.
Notes.
Like, this is more than a full-time job. And so then I said, there's got to be. But then when the ship rolled in and it didn't, you know, there wasn't any problems. And I actually got a handwritten note from Donald Rumsfeld at the Times that said it was one of the best homecomings that the U.S. Navy had ever seen. I thought, okay, well, maybe maybe this is my calling. This
yeah.
is my thing. So I looked up a school in Chicago at the time. I was in Virginia Beach, and they had a hospitality management school that was a bachelor's degree with a focus in event planning. So I literally moved to Chicago, went there, and a week after that, after I graduated, it took me longer to graduate than normal people, but life happens, and that's okay. And a week after graduation, I was working for Harpo Productions and doing an event for Oprah. So it was a whirlwind, and I learned you know, the nuts and bolts of the how-to, and kind of, you know, added my creativity in there, and you know, just give it my own little personal spin. And here we are, many years later.
That's a big leap. I mean, you know, I'm really curious. It's like when you first started out, what was one of your biggest learning lessons, you know, as you kind of launched into this business? What was it that you said, oh, I'll never do that again, you know? Is there something that sticks out to you and what you learned the hard way, unfortunately, as we all have in business?
Yeah, I think for sure it would be that everybody's paying attention. All the time.
Ah.
So, you know, and that it's a very small world, although there's many people in it, when it comes to the event world and the vendors and everything. You know, we're all human, and people absolutely forgive. But if it's a big mistake, well, that could maybe be around your name for a while, you know, and whether it's somebody that was on your team, whether it was you, whether it's the company that you worked for, there's kind of a sense of, okay, this is what this company or person's all about, and this one. So definitely making sure that you're very organized and you're very on top of things, and that you don't get to, I would say, like with your clients, because when you work in events, you're working so many hours together, and it's easy to blur that line between personal and business. And I would say that my biggest learning lesson would be you're always professional. Not that anytime that you're not unprofessional, but you remember that, like, that was your client first, and although you've become friends because of this, like, don't forget that. So that was, you know, when you realize, wow, I'm working all these hours, and here I am, it's still your client, and you have to just be mindful of that, and that, you know, everybody talks to each other, and everybody knows, and so when you make a whoops, you know, kind of thing, that, you know, it's maybe better that you just remember that.
I love it. And for you, it's like, do you recall like one of your most favorite events that you just like, oh my God, if I could do a ton of these, I would love to do them over and over and over again?
Yeah, actually, and those, a lot of people think that it would be anything with the Oprah stuff or the White House stuff, and all those were great, and those were definitely one-offs, and doing them the first time was so great. I don't think it could ever be the same if I did it second. But I would say that doing an event in somebody's home, to me, is the most – that's my favorite. So because that's where, you know, although they're your client, like that's their most personal space. You know, you're working within their family, their dogs, their, you know, their most, like, their favorite paintings, why this room is special to them, you know, those kinds of things.
Ah.
So I think that – when you do an event in somebody's home, it's just so telling. Like, there's no better way to get to know a person than, you know, how they work within their home and how, you know, the things that they let you kind of incorporate. And wow, your home really feels like this. Like, why don't we do this during the event and have your guests do this? So, but I would think at the end when they just hug you and they consider you family, that's the ultimate comfort zone. And I don't know in any kind of a business what a better relationship to have with your client is, just to have you in their home and have them just be so comfortable with you there. Because if you're comfortable with them there, well, they're going to be comfortable with you in their business that they may own,
right,
or the company that they might work for. And it just really extends out. So I think they say home is where the heart is, and it's very true. That's where, it starts. So if you can start in their home and work your way out, that's definitely a good way to go, and I'd call that success.
That's cool. No, I think that's awesome. I mean, I used to have a similar philosophy I've shared this with you. I owned a corporate gift business, and I always would laugh because people would say, oh, don't you want the big orders? And I'm like, you know what? I'm really happy starting with one gift, because I go, if we do that right, of course they're going to come back to us again, And I like that philosophy with you, which you have a wonderful philosophy. But, something that's always intrigued me and I want our listeners to hear is, pink pineapple event design is probably one of the coolest names I've ever heard, pink pineapple events. And what was the inspiration with the name of your business, and what does pink pineapple stand for? Because I think it's really cool. I just see so many elements with it. But why did you choose that business name?
Thank you. Well, I went to, obviously, an all-women's hospitality school, so just being hospitality and being very service-forward is just, it's who I am, it's where I, what I learned, from formal everything to very informal, and just, and pineapple's actually the sign of hospitality, so I've always liked pineapples, and I just love the idea behind the meaning of them, and pink is my favorite color, which, as of this week, the FDA actually just approved a pink pineapple to be made by Del Monte, and it actually has cancer fighting.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, enzymes in it. True story. Yeah. And,
wow.
And I think just when I first started my business, everybody said, oh, well, look at all the big planners. It's, Colin Cowie and Preston Bailey, who's a big florist, or Mindy Weiss out of LA, they use their name, and that's, Colin Cowie events and everything. And I'm like, well, I have a last name that's not very, it's hard to say when you look at it on paper.
It is not the easiest name. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's like Oshibodu, right? Did I say it right?
Oshibodu. Yep. So see, it's
Oshibodu.
Yes. My husband's Nigerian, so it's a cool last name. But, and then I thought, as far as branding, like, I'm not Colin Cowie. I'm not Mindy Weiss, up there, yet I'm on my own brand. And so I decided against naming the company after, my name and using pink pineapple. And I cannot tell you how many people, it's the best decision ever. Everywhere people go and they see a pineapple, they send it to me. Like, look, I saw this thing at the store, you have to buy it. Or I'll randomly, I got a pineapple salt and pepper shakers the other day from somebody.
Oh,
and it's
cute.
Just, it's so great because, yeah, and then, it's not just any pineapple, it's a pink one. So it's a memorable brand. It's the icon that, I could, I don't have to put pink pineapple event design. I just use a little pink pineapple. And to me, that's success, because Pepsi, for example, they don't have to put Pepsi. Everybody already knows their logo. So to kind of create a brand and recognition that has meaning and that I'm passionate about, and even my business cards, they're pink with a gold pineapple, and that's, I hand them the pineapple side up, and everybody says, oh my gosh, pink pineapple, like, this is cool.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
So,
they are gorgeous.
Thank you. So yeah, I love it, and it's kind of who I am.
And I knew you had a story behind it, and I'm like, genius in your business name. So that's just my little brand of approval there. But, for the audience and our listeners that maybe want to reach out and ask you questions about, their event, or if they have questions for you or want to reach out to you, how do you want people to contact you, Nicole?
Sure. I think email is definitely, a great way. So I would take a look at, my website, which is thepinkpineappleevent.com, and just see if you like what you see there. It has, a little bit of information about me there, the kind of events I do, how the pricing, FAQs on there. And then my email is Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, at thepinkpineappleevent.com. So I think those are two great ways.
Awesome. Awesome. And I know you're all over social media, man. You get it done on that one. So very cool. Here is, because we're almost out of time, so my final question, because we're at year end. 2016 is going to be yet but a memory as of tomorrow night, right? So what, I mean,
right.
for you next year, what are some of the big things that you're, you know, you can share maybe with us and our audience of listeners, like what are your big goals for next year that you want to see happen for you and Pink Pineapple events?
I would say as far as goals, I took the past 5 years in the corporate world and I did business development. So I feel as though I've been there, done that, as far as networking events and, you know, how do people really learn at an event? So this in 2017, I'm actually going to produce with my team an all-industry, just event industry, event conference that changes the way that we learn. Because, you know, there's all these new technologies and, you know, we've kind of been there and done that, you know, going to different events and conferences and that kind of thing to, you know, learn. And it kind of seems very templated to me. And some things we're always in the event world saying, well, how come, you know, this is for event people. How come we're not doing this? Or how come this isn't happening? Or, oh, this could have been better because we're our own worst critics, you know. So actually creating a conference that kind of speaks to all of those points. So that would be definitely a goal of mine, is to do the first one that we're doing in D.C. in May and to grow it from there. And it's going to be very boutique style. And I think the other goal would be to stay in my lane. I think we all have. I'm definitely the, oh, look, a shiny thing kind of person. But I think within staying in my lane, I have to also keep both hands on the wheel. I mean, I know it's never guaranteed to be a paved road. And off-roading makes you a better driver. But, you know, that would be.
I love that. There's a name for it, right? It's called shiny light syndrome. It's like, of course there's a name for it for those of us that can't stay in the lane. And I'm one of those as well. But those are for creative people. You know, we got to be creative. We got to think outside the box. But that's a pretty good goal there. I hope I see on your vision board there's a lane, like a lane where it's like it looks very finite and you stay within it.
Yes, for sure. And I think for everybody else's business would be, you know, with all the technology and the social media, it's so easy to, I mean, this is what, you know, was one of my challenges this year was to not get lost in somebody else's business, because mine and yours is uniquely yours and people want to hire just me and they want to hire just you. Mm. And so not, you know, being, well, look at this company doing this and that kind of thing. Well, who cares what they're doing? That's, at the end of the day, it's your business and people care about what you're doing. Your clients care about just what you're doing for them. So it's a, you know, staying in your lane in that way too would be good.
I think that's good. And on a note, that's that's how we're going to wrap it up, because I think that's pretty positive. So Happy New Year to you. I want to say Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Nicole, I hope our listeners and our you know, attendees will actually kind of like dial in and check you out for some of the events. I know we're excited about the next year and maybe working with you as well with our association and CWI. So to our listeners, Happy New Year, and we're hoping that all of you have a very safe and wonderful new year. We will be back with our shows next year. I can't believe I'm saying that. But our leading lady next week is going to be Monique Stubbs Hall and Melissa Jo Baker, and they are professional business and grooming consultants. I mean, this is not a show we would normally do, but our title is Style It Up, and we're going to get some professional style tips to increase your professional power. And I know these ladies have a great story about how they came together to collaborate with their business venture, and we are going to share that with you. So again, I hope all of you have a fabulous new year. Thank you for listening to Women Lead Radio. We really do appreciate how many of our listeners are so loyal. And we will see all of you, or you will hear us, next year.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.